Kinderhof. Wo sie die Matur. Finde ich alle Kenisse. Nicht aber darf man Katschives auf der, weil man dort versteht, man darf Riesig. Aber der Maße, ich versuche es das auch genug. In Belz, ich bin am Membre. Was die Joshua in Belz pflegen zu suchen. Als der Belze Yoishev ist ein Mensch, der um dem ersten Pfand auf der Welt. Verwus dich erst mal sehr pushet. Alle Goyen haben Pfand alle Iden. Alle Iden haben Pfand alle Ehrlichiden. Alle Ehrlichiden haben Pfand alle Chsidim. Alle Chsidim haben Pfand der Belze Chsidim. Und der Belze Chsidim haben Pfand die Yoshev. So pflegen die Yoshev zu suchen in Belz. Der Ruf in Antigen da hat übergetatscht die ganze Memre auf der verkehrte Nissach. Alle Goyim sind Mekane, alle Iden. Alle Iden sind Mekane, der Ehrliche Iden. Der Ehrliche Iden sind Mekane, der Chsidim. Und der Chsidim sind Mekane, der Belze Chsidim. Und der Belze Chsidim sind Mekane, der Yoshvim. Wo ist es an der Misik von der Yoshev im Belz? Yoshev bei Olo Shem Teure, ein Gemahn, Arbetur, es vernimmt sich die Zeit, man rast sich hoch, wie sieht man die Teure, man geht in den Weg, wo es draußen ist angesinnt, dreht ins Soß, das ist der richtige Joshua vernannt. Am Mulli gewinnt ihn, uns pflegen sich weggeben, fuhren Chodushim, Kambels, gewinnt dort ein paar Chodushim, zurückfuhren heim auf eine kurze Zeit und zurückfuhren, ankommen sie an der Kischer, die andere Welt, also eine technologische Welt, bekommen sie an der Kischer, durch die Queen City, durch die alle Mahmur mit Ruf sucht uns, im is ungebinden Kambelt, du sei antige Yoshev. Du hast die Zeit, das heißt der Masse, und ich meine, es kann rausgeben, ein bisschen Lakik, aber wo ist der Ruf will du? Du hast die Zeit, der bekannte Masse, ich habe noch das Zeit, verzeiht es, übergesucht für Ruf. Der erste Bild zu Rebetzen, in Zwiegemann zum Saar Schulem, zum ersten Bild zu Ruf, Rissi, genein, wo kommt es zu, und gefragt, Rebbe, kennst du dich am Mashiach? Iden paniken sich an Tengules, kennst du dich am Mashiach, ist das leisen jüdische Kinder, verursachst du nicht wie ein Mashiach? Aber der erste Bild zu Ruf gesucht, zum Mashiach will ich nicht an. Aber wo ist Mashiach, du machst schwere Arbeit. Wo ist es doch immer schwere Arbeit? Losen die jüdische Kinder so, wie sie sind, und im Schfall hat man drei geht und nicht kennen. Ehrlich mal, jetzt ich muss noch ablosen zu sein. Es haben mich keine Wahl zum Heiligen Maschäfer. Sie sagen, sie haben schwere Arbeit von mir. Ich sage, wir sind alle Elfers. Durch die Zeit kam ein Kampum in der Masse, durch die Ziegel lebt er so. Also, die Seite ist von mir gesucht. Und ich suche, als mit seinem Ideale, Warte ihn mit der Nidchi-Sulet, denn schon kein Problem ist hier. Er hat anschauen an der Warmkeit von Niedigkeit, und für sich alleine sind sie gegossen werden, sind sie gein, von der Warmkeit von Niedigkeit und sind zurückgekommen zum Heiligen Bashefer. Mit wem hat er auch ein Problem? Mit hier, mit ihm zu fremden. Nun, wo will ich darüber rausbringen, wenn ich finde, ihn zu fremden, wo ist Geist mir verzeihen? Ich weiß alles, ich bin geboren worden, aber es ist stieb. Ich kenne schon alles. Ich bin als Kleinkind, mein Rebbe hat mir schon erzählt. Mein Tate, Mama haben schon herangebacken, alle Jugend. Wo ist Geipa mit mir gerade schon? Die Schale, ich sehe eine Sache, wie mit 30 in einem Schieden sind ein Emerson mit Wachschirm. Jetzt ein Kiek, es ist ein Emerson Mäufes, kiek sich eine Heule mit Samiki, mit dem Donnerstück in Amerika. Emes takke achoge, aber Iden sind im Wachschirm. Jetzt ein Kiek muss ich bei der Nuschim, man darf machen zwei Mund bei der Nuschim. Weil Kleine, was uns angeschrieben, er macht in der Nuschim. Es sind auch 10 Mund, Iden sind im Wachschirm. Ob man denn nicht gehört alles, man darf an Koyach, man darf an Banaien, renuen die ganze System. Ins Wilmer, Sand und, ins Wilmer sich derreiben. Und ich meine, als mit Inseldor, wenn du uns angesehen hast, wenn ich dich so zusammenkommen, Ich kann dir sagen, dass mit ihm sagt, dass ich kein Problem ist hier. Ich kann schon kommen, soll er schon kommen. Ich will Srigain, also wie ein größer, wenn ich gewähne, wenn wir tun gehen. No, sie waren kleine Bakusche, Pusche, so sagen, Geschmack von Eulen. Also wie die Atmosphäre wendet sich in Eulen. Von einem, ich kicke auf den Zweiten, oder verkehrt, jeder so kicke auf den Zweiten und sich zusammen reiben. Wenn man singt, singt man, wenn man tanzt, tanzt man. Du sagst, sie sucht nicht am Möhre, die Teure. Ich darf nicht suchen mehr die ganze Teure, ich darf nur suchen drei Werte. Man nicht raus, ich kann nicht mehr. In Sagenix hat man deutlich gefragt, aber ich gehe von Machen zu ja. Schau dir nur, wenn der Tisch geht an. Das man nicht raus, ich kann nicht mehr. Du musst doch mit suchen Teure beim Tisch in der Hölle mit allein schiebt hin. Du siehst das Bescheid für dein Wort, wenn du gesucht. Wenn ich suche, und selbst darum ein Problem, auch schon stand kein Problem. Man nicht raus, ich kann nicht mehr. Würde ich beten, Leute, so mithalten, das mache ich einen Tanz, wird sich ein bisschen daheim. Und nachdem, sie hatte die Schmeie, hat man aufgerufen, dem Kippen die Geräder. Nächten hat man doch gesungen auf einem Menigen, ein Tanz singen, wo es auch das Sachen schmutz in dem. Wo es du, der jetzt ankommt, ist der Ämse mal schmutz in dem Ligen, wo es begleitet tanzen jetzt. Und so beten, Leute, so sich daheim zusammen. Nach Scheine, ich gehe ich so la Schei. Es reine, morgen eine.
סובב את המסך. Good evening, everyone. We decided to speak tonight. What does it mean to be a Jew, to be a kosher Jew, to fulfill the mission of a Jew in this world, even though everyone here is full, and everyone is doing whatever he can do to be Shomer Mitzvot, to be a Tzaddik. Louder? Every time I make it louder, it's making noise. Something with the sound. So, it's obvious that everyone here has the same intention. I don't want to waste my life. Like in Israel, they say, litchon maim. I don't want to grind water all my life. After 7 years, I still have water. What did I do? The question is, if somebody asks you today, what is the purpose of your life? You're a Jew. Hasidic Jew living in a very frum community. What do you think is your job in life besides being Shomer Shabbos and eating kosher and learn Torah and daven? What really is the purpose of your life? Well, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us here, 13.2 million Jews, ki atem ha-me'at mikol ha'amim. You are less than all the nations. Diamonds, you don't find a lot in nature. Chinese, you have almost 2 billion. Arabs, 2 billion. Christians, 2 billion. Jews, little crumbs. Few here, few there, few communities. That's what about it. 13.2 million. Ki atem ha-me'at mikol ha'amim. Israel or la goyim. Light to the goyim. We just finished Hanukkah. Every year I ask the same question. Maybe you help me out. I say, the most important thing in the life of a Jew is the emes. To be always stuck to the emet. Never to move left and right from the emet. The emes should be above everything in life. More than your pleasure, more than your wishes, more than your dream, more than your family, more than your business, more than anything in your life, what people think about you is first, I need the back by a mat. I don't care if people beat me up and spit on me on the street. I have to be attached to the mat. Whatever the consequences will be, I'm willing to pay the price. And we've seen, Hanavi Yeshaya was sliced to pieces by his grandson for sticking to the emes. Many of the Gdolim pay a very heavy price for the emes. Don't worry, they didn't do it for free. The reward is beyond words. In the end, sof davar hakol nishma, everyone who gets what he deserves, we know that. But it's a very big nisayon. Today we live in a generation, I'm working 20 years and I spoke in, I don't know, 5,000 lectures by now. I have millions of listeners in the world, in so many countries, so many emails, 500 emails a day, so many messages, so many meetings, people waiting hours, one place after the other. I find the sickness of today's generation is this disease that destroyed the whole world and destroyed the Frum community from inside, is one expression that I hate so much. It's two words. Two words. Do you know what they are? Politically correct, which means a professional liar, despicable liar. That's what it means. They found a nice word for it. Rabbi, over here it's, you know, midat harachamim, politically correct. Don't get people angry. Don't say this, don't say that. Over here you're not allowed to say it. There's no such thing. Rusha. There's no reshaim. Everyone is a diamond. Half of the Torah doesn't exist. This is the lie that penetrates to every place today. How many people left in the world that willing to stand in front of millions or thousands of people knowing they finish their speech and people will continue to attack them nonstop, and they do it one night after the other. They pay the price, they pay the money, they get the abuse, but they never move an inch from what the Torah say. How many left in today's world like this? Today, first the person decides before he opens his mouth, what's in it for me? No Hashem, no nothing. What's in it for me first? What do I gain from it? What does my yeshiva will gain for it? What's my pocket will gain? What's my children will gain? And then if it's working with Hashem's plan, I'm very happy. After all, I'm not moret b'Hashem, chas v'shalom. That's not the way it should be. It should be the other way around. There are two kinds of people. There are people that first they decided to be reshaim, which means achol v'shato ki machar namut. And then the other kind of people that they say, I am a searcher of the emes. I am a requester, mevakshe Hashem, like the Ramchal say. I am a searcher, mechapes, searching for the emes of the creator of the world. Two kinds of people. You can divide the world to two categories. One category is very, very big. One category is very, very small. Very small. What does it mean? Some people, they already decided, I want, like they say in America, the American thing, the American in today's society, you hear it a lot by Frum people. I want to have fun, Abba. Abba, I want to have fun. They made up this expression, I want to have fun, which means I want to be a Rasha with a kosher stamp. That's really what it means, I want to have fun. What does it mean, I want to have fun? You came to this world to have fun? Yeah, there are certain things that you enjoy in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was merciful enough to make wonderful things for us to enjoy here, but that wasn't the purpose. It's like a bonus, by the way. I don't want to make your life be there. Food could have been everything, no taste. Imagine all food you eat like eating plastic. All your life. There would not be one heavy guy in the world. Everyone would be extra skinny, like the Ramchal was. The Baba Sali, 45 kilo. Why? He didn't have taiva for food. He looks like a scarecrow, very like this tender, very, very skinny. However, today, a lot of people in the world, extra, they gain a lot of weight. Why? One word, taiva. I want to have fun. It's delicious. Hashem could have made the world that food is tastes like plastic, like sand. You need to eat it, otherwise you die. You eat, you push it to your mouth, you suffer, and that's it, you live. It could have made everything in the world brown or gray or green. Everything. Like the old days, they used to have television black and white. Two colors. Everything could have been black and white. Very boring and depressing world, like in London. All day gray. I've been there all the time, drizzle. I walk from here to there. I say, Hashem, give us 1 hour without. And I had to run from one community to the other on Shabbos. non-stop drizzly. He could have made the whole world like this. No color, no the fruits, all these colors, all these beautiful flavors. He could have made the world very boring. Still have the obligation to be a tzaddik. He gave us the bonus, but that wasn't the purpose. Many people make the tafel ikar and the ikar tafel in this world. So I started to say there are two kinds of people. One is people that chose, I want to enjoy my stomach, I want to make my eyes enjoy, I want my body to enjoy, I want my bank account to be happy. And that's my priority. Now they begin to search for all kinds of sources in the Torah, in the Nevi'im, in the Talmud, in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam. There's Rav Saadia Gaon. All of a sudden he became a chassid of Rav Saadia Gaon. Why? He heard him speaking, there's no Gilgulim. He didn't have the Zohar, it was before. That's what his opinion. Everybody has already proved there's Gilgulim. There is a big rabbi, he said, no Gilgulim, of course, I am a big fan of him. All the Reshaim, all of a sudden, they became Hasidim of Rav Saada Gaon, all the filthiest people on earth. You should see how they fight against me in the internet when I spoke about Gilgulim from the Ari. All of a sudden, all the Reshaim are big Hasidim of Rav Saada Gaon. What about the Shabbos that Rav Saada Gaon was speaking about? Michalel Shabbos, if no... Is nikrat leolam haba, is isur karet? No, that Saadia Gaon is not our style. They first decide what they want to be, and then they begin to search for Rabbi Manoach. You know what it means, Rabbi Manoach? There's a lot of Israelis here, no? Rabbi Manoach. What's comfortable is his rabbi. Rabbi Manoach. Where does it say that I'm right? Maybe it's my opinion. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, he came to one pasuk that was very problematic in his eyes. Now Moshe Rabbeinu mamash almost refused to write it. Which pasuk? Huh? No. Oh, you're right. Well, it's personality. But if Hashem said to write that you're the biggest anav in history, no, you write it. You're not feeling comfortable about it, but it doesn't come from Basar Vadam. It came from Hashem, that's the truth, Baruch Hashem, Zachiti. There's another pasuk that was very, very hard for Moshe Rabbeinu to write until he had to stop and argue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Which pasuk? Naase Adam Betzalmenu Kedmutenu. Naase means plural, berabim. Chas v'shalom, there's more than one God. That's a very problematic pasuk in the Torah. He can create, he can cause kfirah immediately. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do you say na'aseh? You should say e'aseh. I will do. Not na'aseh. What the people may come and think there's more than God, God chas v'shalom. It will confuse them, will destroy the purpose of this whole religion, this whole Torah. He has a very good claim. Technically, the answer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have been, I want to teach how to be Anav. I want to show the world that I'm giving credit to Malachim, that they participate in the creation, like they say Rav Moshe Feinstein, that in his yeshiva, he used to ask very hard kushiyot, and of course nobody had the answer to his kashiyas. And he is the one who also gave the terutzim, and whenever he gave the terutz, he always answered, you see how Baruch Hashem we found the terutz? He always the one who found the terutz. But he always spoke, we found the terutz. Why? He's an anav. He wants everyone else to feel good that they participate in finding the terutz. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach anava. But that's not what Hashem answered him. That's what Chazal told us. But that's not what Hashem answered Moshe. What did Hashem answer Moshe Rabbeinu? Be quiet and write. Arotze lit'ot yavo v'it'eh. That's a very, very critical answer. He said to Moshe, please be quiet. Write it down anyway, because someone who would want to be mistaken will be mistaken one way or the other. This explains the secret of all the Reshaim in all the generation from the beginning of the world until the end of the world. How they work, this Reshaim? First, they decide to be Reshaim. And now they are finding and they're searching for mistake to justify their evil way. Why they need to find backup? You can just be a Rasha without a backup. Because Hakadosh Baruch Hu made something that called conscience, matzpun. It bothers the person from inside. Even a Rasha has a little bit of it. Maybe he die after a few years, but in the beginning, everyone has conscience. It bothers the person. He just found out that he's not allowed to do what he does. It's a very big avera according to this Hasidim. What is he trying to prove? That they have no idea what they're talking about. If he'll prove that they're wrong, shalom aleich nafshi. And there are the other kind of people. They say, I want to know what the emes is, and I will adjust myself to the emes of Hashem. That's what Judaism is all about. But unfortunately, it's a very small group. From 13.2 million Jews in the world, between you and I, off the record. Off the record, even though it's recorded, off the record. Off the record. How many people from 13.2 million Jews, the MS, is above any personal calculation? How many? That they'll never move an inch. That they can, I tell you a story. There was one tzaddik, Rav Moshe Malka, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. In my life, is one of the greatest Baalei Emun I've seen, devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had, this human being. Passed away 2 years ago, 75 years old. His emet, midat haemet shelo, was scary, scary, to such level. It's like, you know, I don't know how a person can reach, in our generation, such a level of emet. No matter who you are, you serve him 20 years, you will give him millions of dollars, and then he will find you doing something wrong, he will attack you with strong musar, and then he will tell you, until you're not doing tshuva, I won't take another penny from you. And there was one time, he was sleeping in a mansion of a very wealthy person somewhere, and this person, that person started to speak against me, against me. And he said to him, make sure he doesn't come to this wedding. He's not welcome here. And he said to him, he will come to the wedding, he will sit next to me in a mizrach, and I will dance with him. His blood is not less red than yours. And remember, he sleeps in his house almost, 10, 15 years. He has a private mikveh. He gives him checks every time he comes here. I did nothing for him. I was very young. We're talking more than 20 years ago, in the beginning of my way. But I was right, and that person was a corrupted liar, Rasha. That's what he was. Without going into details, you don't know who we're talking here about, so just to get the idea here. So he said to him, everything Mizrahi told you is the MS. You are the liar, and I will never step in your house one more time. And that minute, he left the entire community who were supporting his entire yeshiva with 700 children. He left with nothing, and he moved to Brooklyn community and never stepped there ever again. Midat haemet of this person, it doesn't matter, I have, I don't have. I'm always going to stick to what the truth is, no matter what it is. This is a person that reached it in his lifetime. When he saw people going to play in a park in the yeshiva, it's Baalei Tshuva. They go to play soccer on the park a little bit, Friday afternoon. He used to go crazy. He said, Maze, this is Yehudim or Eli Yevanim? He couldn't believe that people wasting time on this. He was in a level that the emes by him was reality, not just in the books. I give you another example. One frum from Bert Hasid came to buy the business of the person who make my CDs. The person who make my CDs, he wanted to sell the business. And he said to him, the Hasid told him, the Hasid and his son came. I don't even know who this Hasid is. He just told me the story. But I don't know who he is. But he's from Baird, respectful person. And he said to him, how much is the business? Whatever the price was, he gave him the price. The Hasid started to check the bank accounts, everything. Whatever you check when you buy a business, he was checking. It was a clever Hasid. Then the Hasid told him, the business doesn't work so much. There's not enough profit. So the person told him, but listen, look at the spiritual benefits that you're going to have in such a business. Just you making the CDs of Rabbi Mizrahi, maybe 15,000-20,000 CDs every month, even though it's very cheap, we give it for very cheap, but you're going to participate in so many Balei Tshuva every month, and it's going to come out of your hands. So the Chassid told him, this is good for the drashas. Now let's talk tachles. That's what he answered him. And this was a Baal Tshuva, innocent, trying to do, you know, what's right. He couldn't believe it. He was shocked, broken completely for a week. He was shocked. He didn't understand. It was a long time ago. Baruch Hashem, today he doesn't need to sell the business. Hashem help. We make a lot more. So yes, Parnasa. But back in the beginning, so he said to me, I don't understand what. This person was a Shomer Mitzvot. I'm telling him, you're gonna be Mezake Arabim. You have so many Balei Tshuva, Neshames of Hashem. Instead of kissing my hand and say, I'm buying the business, no more, not one more question. Just that I have this opportunity in my lifetime, you're giving me such a treasure. He said, that's good for the Sfarim. Be Mezake Arabim, Yemotzi Akar Mizolel. You know, the Zohar in Parashat Truma. So nobody comes in the level of Mezake Arabim, even Tzadikim Gmurim. You know, I've seen one Navi, one of the Nevi'im, maybe it was Yirmiyah, if I remember correctly. He wrote that if a person was a complete, perfect Tzadik in all his lifetime, like David HaMelech, he writes in Tehilim, not once, not twice, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know that I never made one avon in my entire life. It's psukim in Tehilim. David HaMelech stand in front of Hashem. He's not going to make himself look like a liar and a fool standing in front of Hashem. You know, all my life I'm such a tzaddik, I never made one avera. If you know you never made one avera, then you're going to say it. Otherwise, you're not going to make yourself in front of, if you can lie to people, you cannot lie to Hashem. You stand in Shmona Esrei, dear God, help me, you know I deserve it, you know you owe me, you know all my life I gave for you, you know I never lie, no, I never stole, I'm chassid, I'm lifni mishurat adin, I worked on my midos, I'm perfect. That's why you have to help me, not chesed. You have to give it to me, because you promised in your Torah, and I did everything you wanted me to do in my whole life. How many people can say it? Without the lie detector of Hashem breaking down. How many people can say it? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in the Bar Mitzvah of his son, he made a bracha. Baruch ata Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, sheptarani meonsho shel ze. Shel ze. Everyone in a place was silent. Everyone was shocked. Nobody said this bracha with Shem u'malchut. Everybody came to him, Rabbi, why? Since when you do this bracha with Shem u'malchut? He said to them, why don't you say in the bar mitzvah of your son the name of Hashem? Why? What's the reason? What's the problem? Chazal says every bracha she'en b'shem malchut ena bracha. So either you say a bracha or you don't say it all. What does it mean to say but without the name of Hashem? You only say it when you have a safek. You lo tisa et shem Hashem lashav. You don't want to say bracha levatala. So you don't say with the name of Hashem. At least say something. To show Hashem I really want, but I cannot really say your name because I don't want to violate the Ten Commandments. So what happened here? He started to give him a drasha. He said, the reason that you don't say it, because the Torah says, midvar sheker tirchak. You're not allowed to be a liar. Especially you're not allowed to make a bracha on a lie. Can you make a bracha someone who eats chazir? Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam asher kidishan mitzvotav etzivanu leechol chazir. The people will get angrier at him for the bracha more than actually eating chazir. For the chutzpah that he has. Right or wrong? What would you get more angry at him, this guy, this kofer? For eating chazir or for actually making bracha that Hashem tziva oto to eat chazir? For the bracha you'll get a lot angrier. So we don't want to get Hashem with our lies. So we don't say the name of Hashem. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, how many people in the world can say that they raised their children from the day they're born to the bar mitzvah 100% perfect? That they did not make any mistakes, that from this moment on they can stand and declare with the name of Hashem that I am dismissed from the punishment and the consequences of what this boy is going to do for the rest of his life. Because I taught him right. The rest is not my problem. He's a man now. He's supposed to be a tzaddik. If he's going to decide to be a rotzeach, if he's going to want to be a thief, don't come to me. I'm clean. Yadenu lo shafchu et adam hazeh. I know I'm clean, so I'm declaring to you in front of everyone, Baruch Ata Hashem, I know I never made one mistake with this education of this boy. Once again in his life, he repeated something similar in a funeral of his wife. He said, now it's an opportunity to ask for mechila, and a person lo alenu bury his wife, when is he going to ask her mechila? When? In the next year, your tzeit? Now it's the time. People offend their wives. It's reality, not always paying attention. If not, im lo achshav ematai, when? So what happened? He stood by the grave and he said like this, Tera de kiddush Hashem. I have tzmarmoret, goosebumps when I even think about it. He said, you and I know that we never hurt each other in all the 50 or 60 years they were married. We never hurt each other even once. You never hurt me, I never hurt you. We don't have any reason to ask for mechila. That's what he says in the funeral of his wife. How many people in the history can say such a thing? That they live 50, 60 years with the same woman in the same house, and there's bills, and there's tension, and there's arguments, and there's family issues. You know how it is. Neighbor issues, this, the Rebbe say like this, she doesn't want, come, you know, all kinds of things. It happens. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you think that people make averos because they don't know the truth? People first choose to make averos because they want, like they say in America, to have fun. And after that, they search in the Torah, where can I back up my evil way? So if it's not going to be this pasuk, they'll find something else. If it's not going to be something else, they're going to find something else. That's what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's exactly how it is. We say every morning in Shachris, Le'olam ye adam yere shamayim baseter kevagalui. Thank you. Le'olam ye adam yere shamayim baseter kevagalui. Umodeh ala emet vedover emet bilvavo. There are few levels in midat ha'emes. Yere shamayim, it's above everything. Yirat shamayim. Mishamayim ishkif Hashem lirot, ayesh maskil, doresh el Hashem, a requester of Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech wrote, Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid. David HaMelech wrote, Samar Mipachdecha Bsari. My skin is goosebump from fear. Just fear. Irat HaRomimut. Such fear from dealing with the Borei Olam. And as people understand, they had Irat Shamayim. Every second of their life, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. It's in Tehilim. That means that's how he lived. I want to ask you a question. They said that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Am Yisrael, he went to all the nations and offered them the Torah. He offers them to accept the Torah. So when he came to the Goyim, each one of the nations, he gave them a mitzvah that he knew that they cannot keep. That's their weakness. Their weakness. Now, if you're a Rebbe in a class and you have a boy that you know in this perek in Baba Metzia, the boy is good, and in that perek is not so good, and you want to encourage the boy that he will have metikus in learning, where you attack the boy? In a perek that he doesn't know or in a perek that he knows? You want to encourage him. You want to give him a compliment. You make sure that you ask him about where is Munach, not to surprise him and cause a bigger damage to his neshama. So why Hashem comes to the Goyim and he gives them something knowing that's their weakness to make sure that they will say no? It's not a fair game. It's the game is sold. You know, they say Rav Shach, one time he came down to Ponovich, where everyone learns, and he came to one of the Bachurim, and he said to him, whatever his name was, Rab David, get up. No, what? Tell me, where is this Rabbi Akiva Iger on this Gemara? Everyone looks in a yeshiva. Rav Shach, 100 years old, he come to this 20 years old Bachur. I ask him, where is Rabbi Akiva Iger? Something is not making sense here. I'm trying all day to look for this Rabbi Akiva Iger. It kills me. I can't find it. This Bachur say, hold on, Kvod Arav, let me find it for you. He goes, he gets the Gemara, he shows him Rabbi Akiva Iger right here. Rav Shach said, ah, tavo alecha bracha. Thank you very much. He took the Gemara and he went right away into his room. So then he has this assistant, Schaik. He came to him and said, Rabbi, oto dachita bekane, don't tell us stories. What's going on here? You're asking him where Rabbi Akiva Iger is. So he said to him, I found out that this boy is very depressed in the last 2 weeks. Somebody, one of his friends told me that he's very depressed. He had a shidduch. The shidduch looked like a done deal. And in the last minute, the girl canceled the shidduch, who crushed his heart. From the minute he got that, he doesn't have cheshek to learn. He cannot function. They tell me, they beg him to get out of bed. His limud is not limud anymore. I know where he's heading. So I was thinking all day, how do I save this neshama before it's too late? So I knew that if I'm going to make him look chashuv, it will build him up again. Because he's very down. His spirit is down. So I ask his chevruta in the morning, what gemara are you learning now? He said, we're learning this gemara. In a Seder Sheni, we learned this Gemara. So they learned it yesterday. He said, what did you just learn recently? He said, we're going on this Rabbi Akiva Iger. He said, okay, very good. He put a note. The next day he came to, where is this Rabbi Akiva Iger? The Gaon HaGadol. He learned it 5 hours ago. So he got it out of the shelf. He gave it to him. The rumor in the yeshiva, Rav Shach, ask this David, Sheila in Rabbi Akiva Iger. Everyone in Bnei Brak speaks about it. 2 weeks later, was engaged. 2 weeks later. That's a chacham gadol. I guess after a month, they found out that something was right here. So now let's go back to the first question, which we already forgot what it was. What is the purpose of the Jew in this creation? No, you tell me. Each one of you, Baruch Hashem, is more frum than me, and definitely for longer time. So the question is, what is, no, you should know, everyone should know it. That should be his first commandment in life. Mani Osepo, what is my job here? To cut meat in a supermarket? To raise chickens? To drive a taxi? To write mezuzot? What is my tikkun? What am I doing here? There are two kinds of purposes in the life of a Jew. Two, not one. Do you know which one? One individual purpose and one general purpose. General and individual. General as a Jew. All Jews have this tikkun. All of them has this purpose. That's the general. Kulam. But there's an individual tikkun. Everyone has something unique about him, that for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts him in this world to do something. This is your job. You're a melamed, you're a psychologist, you're a rofe, doctor, you're a caterer, and you know, everyone has something. You'll be mezake arabim. Everyone with his tikkun, he has some kind of a talent that he has to search for it. What can I do for the world, for Klal Israel? What is the general purpose? The answer for that is, will be answered with another question. What is the purpose of the Kaddish? How many times we say Kaddish in our life? 10,000 times? 50,000 times? 100,000 times? How many times we answer and we scream, Amen, Yesh Merabah, Korim Lo Gzar Din Shel 70 Shana? How many times? How many Jews in the world scream Amen Yesh Merabah all their life and you ask them, tell me what's the secret of this Kaddish? What do I know? Don't have an idea, ma. Kaddish, you say someone dies, say Kaddish. You finish to learn, you say Kaddish. In the davening, you say Kaddish. Okay, but what is the Kaddish? Where the Kaddish came from? From Gaza? Where did it come? It came from the greatest, holiest minds in the history. When they put it together, what was the secret in it? What do you think? Anything in a tefillah, it doesn't have secrets? They ask Rav Ovadia Yosef, they say, Rabbi, we have a problem in the Israeli army. We have Sfaradim, we have Ashkenazim, we have Kippot Srugot, we have, you know, all kinds of people. Hasidim, Baruch Hashem, we don't have in the army. At that time, that was the case. So it said, what are we going to do every time we come to daven, argument? No Sfarad, no Ashkenaz, Edot HaMizrach, you know, no, you push the Sidur to here, you don't have a Gartel, you know. So we want to combine the davening. We want to make Nosach Tzal. I wonder who gets this stupid idea. But somebody offered that idea. We want to do Nosach Tzal. Because over here we are forced to be together, Rachmana Litzilan. We have no choice. Since we are here together, we're not going to make different minyanim. The army doesn't let. There's only one shul. So which Nosach we going to do? Let's do Memutza. Combine, we have a committee. Take the rabbi, Rabbi of En Harod, Rabbi of the Hermon, Rabbi of San Francisco. We'll get all of them together and we'll make a Nosach Tzal. So he gave them such a long answer, like bottom line, shame on you. What do you think, the davening is reading a newspaper? Okay, let's make a story that is combined. When I had this debate with this Galach, I told him, you know, you have 200,000 different versions to your, what they call New Testament. He didn't understand what I'm talking about. After 5-10 minutes that I'm talking about it, how many mistakes they have and different nosachs. So then he said to me, what do you mean 200,000? I said to him, if you put 200,000 of your book, one next to another, each one is different than the other, all the way from here to Tel Aviv. One different than the other. So he said, oh, now I understand. Oh, don't worry, it's not that bad. We combined it to 5,000 mutual nosachs. 5,000. I said, oh, what a nechama, 5,000. A person wants to be goy, Christian goy. Which one of the 5,000 is going to choose? If you claim it's from God, which one? This one, this one. What are we going to do? So there's a lot of the secret of the Kaddish is like this. In the world, and that brings me to the topic of tonight. Now, until now was the introduction to the beginning of the lecture. But don't worry, we finish soon. I once gave a lecture in Ocean Parkway from 8 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. straight. No break. 7:30 in the morning. 50 people there. Half of them sat on the floor. There's not enough chair. Leaning on the wall. Sitting 12 hours sitting on the floor. You know what pain it is? When I came out, I forgot it's already 7:30 in the morning. You know, I'm used to go out in the night. I come out. I look at Ocean Parkway. An ocean of cars. Bumper to bumper. Everyone goes to Sodom. On the way, Sodom. So, I say to myself, wow, 3 hours now to get to Muncie. From Ocean Parkway, you have to go through the BQE, Manhattan, Hashem Yirachem. But tonight it won't be that long, a few more minutes. So the secret of the Kaddish is like this. The world has four categories. The creator, the world, the people, and the purpose. In Hebrew, הבורא, העולם, האנשים, ותכלית החיים. The purpose of life. That's four different categories. The Kaddish is designed to tell the world, to the Jewish people, what's their purpose in life. Inside this secret that we call Kaddish. We say, Gadal vit Kaddash, that's what is it? It's speaking about Hashem. That's the boss, the creator. Everybody answer amen. Be'alma dibera kirute, and the world is created as he wished. That's now speaking about the world. Everyone answer amen. Be'chayechon uv'yom echon, we talking about the people. Everybody answer amen. And then everybody scream together, what's the purpose? Amen, yeh, shmei rabba. What's the purpose of life? Kiddush Hashem. That somebody looks at you and say, wow, you saw this chassid? I wish I was like him. First time I came to daven by Vishnitz in my life, I saw this tzaddik, Alter, I think his name, I forgot, this chassid, maybe 7 years old. You know, he's jumping and dancing and running in Vishnitz. You know him or no? Rav Mordechai Steiner. I said to myself, I looked at him, I'm not familiar with people like this. All the people I've seen in my life davening like robots. You know, this thing about the business, Hatzala, this interview, job, koilel, get salary, doesn't get salary. All of a sudden I see crying, running, on fire. I say to myself, that's too passive. Excuse me, et chatai ani maskir. But I have to tell you the truth. I'm telling you what was in my mind at that moment. I say to myself, I've never seen this person before. There's two possibilities here. One, that Chas v'Shalom, his mind is already completely lost, or I'm seeing in front of my eyes the biggest tzaddik in the whole world. I say, I must find out. Am I seeing someone who lost his mind and he runs and screams in Hashem Irachem? No, like this we have thousands Hashem Irachem. Oh, I'm actually seeing someone that is dvekut in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a level, may take us a million years to get there. When I came out of Vishnitz, I saw him walking with his talis like this. Right, the way I made a U-turn. Kvod HaRav, can I give you a ride? I gave him a ride, I got the bracha out of him. Then I went to my chassid friend, Jakobovitz. I asked him, what's the story with him? Tell me a little bit, Mamo. He got me someone that his father was learning with him when they were bar mitzvah. And he was telling me a little bit about his life story, how he was like this when he was bar mitzvah already. 50 years is like this every day. I sent someone to take his video, and I showed it in Miami Beach to all the Reshaim. You should see how they looked. They got the shock of their lives. I don't need to give a lecture. I just want to show you what a real holy Jew can be when he has dvekut in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should see how they saw all these rich, fancy, schmancy homes there in Miami Beach, how they came. They were in shock. Some of them even sent me emails. Can you send me this video again? I mean, what you showed? The Shema and the... Wow. When you see something like this, how can you not do tshuva? This is what I think. Efo hu, efo ani. And I see someone like this. I say to myself, efo hu, efo ani. Sometimes I learn musar from goyim. Goyim, I get an email from a goy. Some in Zimbabwe, in I don't know where, in Ghana. You'll never believe you can find something like this in this world. I read the email and I have tears in my eyes. Shalom, your lecture changed my life. I saw this debate with the priest. I realized my whole life is a lie. Immediately I left Christianity. I want to beg you, please allow me to come to New York to be your student. I understand from your lecture I have to divorce my wife, to leave my children. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to give her the business, and he has a business, and to give her the home. I take some money with me. I come to New York. I do whatever you tell me. Just help me to be a Jew. And I answer, you don't need to be a Jew. You can be a righteous goy, righteous Gentile. I write to him, the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. All you have to do is to love God, to believe in one, and da-da-da, give him all the list, and you have heaven. We, the Jews, don't force the goyim to be Jews to go to heaven. The opposite, we encourage them to stay goyim to go to heaven. They come after us to force us to be like them. I want to give you a tip for life. Every time somebody comes to talk to you, whether he's a Jew, whether he's a goy, it doesn't matter who he is. If in his approach to be mekarev you to his place, his first rule is, you have to be like me, then you know he's a missionary and he doesn't have the MS. If he only wants to make you a Jew, you want to be Sephardi Jew, Baruch Hashem. You want to be Litvi Jew, Chumash, or whatever you nimshach. You want to be Hasid, Baruch Hashem. We all keep the same Shabbos. We eat kosher. We believe in one Hashem. We learn the same Gemara, Baruch Hashem. So it's 1% differences in the minhagim. That's not going to make a difference. As long as you're going to become a kosher, Shomer Shabbos, Baal Tshuva, I'm more than happy. But there are some cults among Judaism. No, no, no. You have to be like us, otherwise you're worthless. And that's where the problem begins. And here you go. Sometimes you go, oh, if you don't have Rabbeinu, you have nothing in your life. You cannot connect to Hashem without him, Chas v'Shalom. All kinds of nonsense that I make up. He is the controller. He's going to save you. Like the Christians, they found a very easy way in their religion. J.C. Penney will take all your suffering. Don't have to worry. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Be big tzaddik. I do whatever I want. J.C. on the wall. Poor J.C. Every minute, another billion pounds of suffering goes to him. They made a joke. One person had a parrot in his house, and the parrot used to pick up the phone and dial numbers. To Japan, to Honolulu. The owner of the parrot see that he has thousands of dollars phone bill. He said to the parrot, listen, one more time you take the phone and you dial, I take your two wings with two nails, I bang you on a wall like this until you die. That's it, that's gonna be your punishment. The next month he gets the bill again. So he took him on the wall, he banged two nails, and the parrot is stuck on the wall now. Then the parrot sees across the other side of the room, he sees JC also is hanging on the wall. So he asks him, tell me how many phone calls to overseas you made? So the answer is, Yehudi, a Jew has to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim Barabim. In the way you behave, in the way you care about people, and the way you pray, the way you love Hashem, the way you eat, the way you dress, the way you talk. Everything, this is it. This is the Gaon Mivilna said, Tikkun HaMidot, Ze Kol HaAdam. If you're going to have all the shas in your head, all the poskim, all the shooting, all the Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, everything, but you, Chas V'Shalom, mitnaek kmo Pere Adam, Chazal already said, Talmid Chacham Shemidotav Raot, Nevela Srucha Bashuk Tova Mimeno. They couldn't give a more respectful example. Why they had to be so extreme, Chazal? After all, he's a big Talmid Chacham. No? He has two buttons in the back of his shirt. I mean, coat. What are you calling him a dead rat? It's not, excuse me, I mean, it's disrespectful, Talmid Chacham. Chazal have something to say, they're not afraid of anyone. They wrote it. They wanted to show you, better you be in Am Haaretz with good midot than a big Talmid Chacham and Chelat Adam. That all you care is your stomach and your bank account and you don't care about anybody else. And your Talmidim are dying and you're making billions. When one person died, one time they published that he had hundreds of millions of dollars in his bank account. And he had so many Talmidim that are starving to bread. And I was eating my heart for a week. I say to myself, why the money was laying in Israeli bank account when 1,000 avrechim here doesn't have what to eat? It was killing me. Killing me. What did you gain all this money for? You're not going to take it to Olam Haba. You're an old man. Before you die, at least give it out. What was the point of keeping it in a bank? Why? No midat emet. There's no emet. It's all a show off. If there is emet, Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul was very, very high in emet. He didn't want to open yeshiva for one reason. He did not want to ask money from the rich people. That's what he said to my cousin. It's not my nature, he said. I don't want to accept money from anyone, even from my yeshiva. He did not open yeshiva. His son opened an empire yeshiva. But he was a complete chacham. He did not want to open yeshiva because it would require him to visit the rich people and to be mitchanef to them. He didn't want. He said, it's not my nature. Cannot do it. Some people can pretend. I can't. It's not my nature. Better I don't have yeshiva, then I will be a faker. That's the way he thought. So Hashem came to the Goyim and he offered them something that they're weak about. We, the Jews, we just finished to celebrate Hanukkah. Every year I ask the same question. Did we really win against the Yevanim? The answer, according to my humble opinion, not only we did not win against the Yevanim destroyed us, and they in Gehenom now for 2,500 years laughing about our stupidity, excuse my language. Why? When they see 12.5 million of our nation, that all they care about is to kick a ball, and they cry and they scream because one important guy knows how to throw the ball into the basket, and how the people in Israel crying and fighting and eating each other for this Tarbut Yavan, and how they invest all the money in stadiums that work, that open on Shabbat, and how everything over there it's imitation of America, which is Tarbut Agoyim. So what exactly they celebrating Hanukkah for? I ask the secular people in Israel, you ask them, what's your most favorite holiday? They all say Hanukkah. Why they love Hanukkah? They should hate Hanukkah, like they should be allergic to it. Hanukkah, the Hasidim won against this Reshaim. That's what it means, Hanukkah. And you hate them. So why you celebrate the holidays? Why? You fight against them. You go, it's either us or you will go to death with you. You're not going to tell us if to drive on Shabbos. You're not going to tell us this and this and that. And in the end, the Hasidim make a tish, and they will come to dance with them to celebrate. Well, it doesn't make any sense. Did you ever see such thing? Did you ever see? All these people who fight the Hamas, if the Hamas make a party, they'll join them? Doesn't make sense to me. If the Hamas have a day, one of their Shahid, Yimach Shimo, was sent express to join Bilam and his friends. So the Shahidim over there, they dance. Imagine one person go and join them. That would be the biggest stupidity. How people celebrate the victory against the Yevanim when we are 98% Yevanim today? Maybe not you, but most of us are. Good question or no? Who think he has an answer? We celebrate Hanukkah every year. Every year I have like... In my heart, a twist. I say to myself, something is not MS here. We celebrate the Maos Tzur Yeshuati, Shasita Nisim Laavotenu. Every kid wants baseball cards, going here and going there, and it's all about food, and it's all about games, and electronic, and all kinds of phones and devices, and everyone fights in Israel, kosher internet, not kosher internet, 80,000 people come to the stadium. What changed? Tarbut Yavan. The Yavani made the damage. They physically died, but their legacy is living. Most of the Jews in the world admire Chazal or admire the Yavanim. How many Jews in the world admire Chazal? 2 million? 2 million Jews, that's it. Admire Chazal. 11 million, make fun. You should see what comments they leave. Shem Yirachem. What articles they write. You see it, you want to cry. For their ignorance. What is the job of a Jew? If you want to be a Jew, you have to be a real Jew, not fake. Real one. Not, I don't care if it's all politics, where I belong, which group. Now we have lack of unity. It's a lot of little groups. Imagine if it was one big group. You can achieve so much, this lack of unity. Like Haman said to Ahasuerus, Am meforad, mefuzar. What do you need them for? It's like cancer spreading everywhere. But if it's one piece, one unit, nobody can move you an inch. But when everyone is broken to pieces, machlokot among families, the same chatzer, and this, and two sons splitting the chassidut now, and in this yeshiva, two rashi yeshivot, and over here now, all of a sudden, two different politicians breaking into middle. What is going on here? The answer is, our personal gain come before the MS. That's really what it is. That's what this whole lecture is about. Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm not giving Musar to anyone. Who am I to give Musar? The last person in the world to give Musar. I'm just reading loud to myself, and hopefully it will go a little bit to each one of the hearts here, and that's it. And we achieve something from this beautiful gathering here. You have to know one more thing, and we'll finish with that. The Belz Hasidim, which I understand most of you are Belz Hasidim. I spoke in Belz in Yerushalayim once, in the yeshiva there. And I told them, and I'm telling it to you here. We're here now in New York. Then it was in Yerushalayim. But it's the same idea. It's Belz and Zohar reaching out to the secular Jews to bring them closer to Hashem. They do Kiruv. Not every Hasidut does Kiruv. Not everyone knows how to do Kiruv. You can be a huge Talmid Chacham. You know all Shas by heart. You're a holy man. You can never make one Baal Tshuva in your life. Maybe you can make Baal Tshuva by the way you behave. That's a different story. So he wants to be like you, he will be a Baal Tshuva. But you won't know how to argue with an Apikores. It's a whole different profession. It's not so simple. Just knowing all the Torah and all the Shelot and all the everything you know, you can be a big posek. You can give good advice. You can be a great example for people how to be. But it doesn't mean you know how to argue with these apikorsim. Because they are liars, they deceivers, they trick, they bring things. You have to know the tricks. And they always bring new tricks. Like I told you before, they already determined to be reshaim. So every time you give them an answer, they come with something new tomorrow. But I want to tell you one thing. Not everyone knows how to do Kiruv. But everyone has money. Everyone has money. And some people knows computer. Some people work with computer. I actually have some Hasidim. One from Borough Park and another one from Borough Park. That say, well, money we don't have to give. But we want to volunteer to help you to be Mekarev Neshamos. Tell us what you need. I'm a professional secretary. I know how to type. I can send emails for you. Whatever you tell me, you know, graphic, design. Very nice. She can participate in making Hatzalat Nefashot. You need flyer here. You need flyer there. New design for the CDs. To check things on a website that all the lectures work. To become a part of the army of Hashem. You know, I don't have to tell you the words of the Zohar in Parashat Terumah. I told you before the words of the Navi, but I didn't finish. The Navi said, you can be a perfect tzaddik, perfect, perfect, all your life perfect, like David HaMelech. You don't reach the level of Mezakeh Arabim. That's the words of a Navi, not someone from our generation. This is how great a person can be by saving Neshamot of Hashem. In the time of the Maharsha, one person, Rasha, big Rasha, died, and in his funeral, one of the yeshiva bachur hit him on his nose. He hit him on his nose, and everyone was laughing. After that moment, this Rasha, every night he comes to this Talmid yeshiva, I'm gonna kill you. I won't give you a rest. I won't give you peace. Until I kill you, I will never stop. So the guy said, what did I do to you? Big deal. I hit you a little bit on your nose. Why do you care so much? Everyone laugh. You, all of you, all these religious people, they were all laughing at me. You don't care that I died. I'm gonna go full revenge against you. Now this Bachur Yeshiva, he cannot sleep. One day, second, three, four, it's collapsing already. They took him to the Maharsha. We're talking 450 years ago. The Maharsha said to him, something in your story doesn't make sense. How a Rasha like this will have permission to disturb someone who sits all day and learns Torah? It's against all the rules, it's against all the regulations. I'm coming to sleep in your room tonight. When you wake up, I'm going to ask him to talk to me. And the ruach of this person appears. Just when he puts his head, the Rasha showed up. The Maharsha said, talk to me, leave him alone. Talk to me. He said to him, yes, Rabbi. He said, I want to ask you a question. Who give you permission to disturb someone who sits and learns Torah all day? How does a Rasha like you has permission to disturb a learner of Torah. How? So he said to the rabbi, who told you that I'm a Rasha? He said, everyone in town knows you're Rasha. No Shabbos, no kosher, no kedusha, no tefillah, no nothing. You are a Rasha. That's what you are. Why are you disturbing this tzaddik? So he said to him, okay, rabbi, you're right. I'm a big Rasha. You're right. Everything you say, you're right. But there's one thing you don't know about me. One thing you don't know about me. Okay, what? One day I walked on a bridge. There was wind. I looked around. I see a guy. He's swimming in a lake and he's drowning. Screaming that he's drowning. Right away with my suit, I jumped into the water. I saved him. I brought him out to the shore and we started to talk. He told me that he's a Bachur Yeshiva. He's learning in this yeshiva and he's poor and thank you for saving me. Wow, look, all my clothes now. So I said to him, after I saved his life, I felt connection to him. I said to him, don't worry, you won't be poor anymore. I'm going to give you money every month. I'll send you money every month. Every month I was giving him money that he can sit and learn Torah better. When I came to my mishpat in Shamayim, after it was mamash horrible, all of a sudden one angel came, Malach, and he said, wait, you cannot touch him. I'm very sorry. I don't let you touch him. What? He is Zikui Arabim. He was mezake this Bachur Yeshiva to learn Torah. He supports Torah, machzik Torah. You cannot do anything to him. It's not so simple. So they ask me, what do you want to do? I say, I want to take revenge against this guy that made a fun of me in front of everyone. That's what's on his mind right now, revenge. They told him, good idea. That's what they told him. You can go. Go after this Bachur. The Maharsha told him, don't be a fool. This is a setup. It's a trick. They want to prove the case against you. The prosecutor in Shamayim, he wants to prove that the only reason you gave money to this Bachur is nothing to do with the Torah. It's just like two friends. It lowered the mitzvah to zero almost. But if you can prove, if your Malach, your Sanegor can prove that you gave because he's a Talmid Yeshiva, that's going to save you in Yom Adin. They're trying to prove that you don't care about Bachur Yeshiva. They want to show how you come after him to kill him. And then they use it against you. And you see, he doesn't care about Yeshiva Bachur. Here, he goes and he disturbs him. If he cared about Torah, he would disturb a Bachur for hitting him on the nose. Bimochel, leave him alone. Bimochel to what he did. It was wrong. Bimochel. And everything will be fine with you. And he never came back after that. He was coming every night. Every night he was coming. One last minute for today. The Chinese in China, they develop a way to catch salmon fish. Eat salmon fish is, I don't know, $100. If it's big, heavy, it's a lot of money. Every piece, $8 today, Shabbos table. It's very good business. So the Chinese, Mr. Li, is on his boat in the middle of the lake somewhere in China. And he found a fish, a bird. The name of the bird is Shalak. Has a long beak, Makor Gadol, beak, long, very long. And this bird is an expert to catch the salmon. When the salmon swim, boom, in 1 second, it picks up the head and is about to swallow it. But this Chinese took a little stripe, he put around the neck of the bird. Every time the bird catch a fish and about to eat it, the Chinese sit over there. He goes like this. It falls in the boat. Like this, every 2 minutes, another $100. Very good business. You can sit and learn all day. You have a Gemara in one hand. Oh, all day like this. Abaye, Rava, oh, another 100. Beautiful life. So, the question that I ask, what's wrong with this stupid bird? How many times it will take until the bird will understand that they will never enjoy the fish? Give it up. But a bird is a bird. Do you think the monkeys are better? The monkeys are even worse. The Chinese and the Japanese, believe it or not, they love to eat monkeys. But they don't eat the monkeys, they eat their brain. But they don't cook the brain. They take a razor, they tie the hands of the monkey to two trees. This is what we're saying today, Baruch Shelo Asani Goy. They put one hand to the right, one hand to the left. The monkey is alive. It goes like this. They cut the scalp. They pick it up. They pick up his kippah, put it on, and the brain comes out. Still alive, still moving. And they see it, all the head of Sony, the head of Samsung, all of them. They come with a spoon. Ah, delicious. That's how it is. I'm not exaggerating. That's delicatesse over there, the Chinese and the Japanese. The question is, how do they catch these monkeys? They found out that the monkeys love Persian rice. One brand of Persian rice has delicious smell. They found out that the monkeys love it. Every time they cook that, the monkeys come and steal it. So they had a great idea. They took a plastic box and they put holes on all four sides of the box. But the holes are very flat, which means if you put the monkey puts his hand inside, if he closes the hand, it cannot come out. It only comes out flat. It goes in flat, it comes out flat. It cannot come out like this. So the monkey sees the rice and the smell comes from the holes. He smells it and they wait. Mr. Lee, Mr. Chang, Mr. Chong, they all wait around and they wait with the net. And this Chinese, the monkey comes. As soon as he puts his hand in, he grabs the rice. Mr. Chang and Lee, everybody screech, wah, 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 and they put the net on his head. Now he's trying to get his head down. He's quick, the monkey. There's only one problem. Ein adam met v'chatzi ta'avato be'yado. His ta'ava of one bite of rice send him to Gehenei Gehenom. They're going to eat him now with a spoon. The idea is that we as Yids, we cannot continue to be this monkey and these birds anymore. It's about time to be a real kosher Jew. How long are we going to play in this show, on the stage and show off? No politics, no lies, no stealing, none of these things, no Lashon Hara, no fighting everyone against everyone. It's about time to stop with this. Because in the end, we're left with nothing. After all, we come in front of Hashem. Hashem says, I'm sorry, what can I do? Lashon Hara, fighting, Pashkevils everywhere against everyone. What's going on here? Mazepo, even against the Hamas, we don't fight like this. All of a sudden, this your cousin is worse than Arafat? How can it be? The politics, the redifat kavod, the greed, destroy everybody from inside. That's why the Chazal started tefillah with this. Yeshamayim, Yereshamayim baseter, kevah galuy, umodeh ala emet, vedover emet bilvavo. Always, you are right. You are right. You na ma'aretz, I'm a big rebbe, but you are right and I was wrong. Thank you very much for enlightening my eyes. That's a big a Jew. What does it mean, Yehudi? Modeh. Modeh means admit, modeh means thank you. That's what life is all about. Modeh ala emet and admit, thank you very much. Hope to see you again soon. I'm going to be Tuesday in, what's the name over there, the place? In Pardes, 10:30 at night. If you want to come to hear a different topic lecture, you're more than welcome. Thank you very much.